This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying tuned. I'm Shaoning and this is The Morning Run with Lin Mark. It has just gone past 7:17 in the morning. It's a Tuesday, 5th of January. And in about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Datuk Michael Kang, President of the SME Association of Malaysia, about how SMEs feel about the year ahead. But in the meantime, let's talk about East Malaysian politics.
So Sarawak Pakatan Harapan recently announced that it has reached consensus between component parties on seat allocations for the upcoming Sarawak state election. Now, the allocations showed no clashes between the three main parties. PKR is contesting the lion's share with 47 seats, DAP has 26, and Amanah is contesting 9. Now, despite having distributed all 82 seats, the coalition added that they were open to collaborating with other opposition parties for as long as they were credible and genuine. Now, no date has been announced for the election, but the state government's current term expires on June 6th, which means the election must be held latest by August of this year.
So for more on this, we have with us Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. Now, what are your thoughts on the seat allocations for Pakatan Harapan in Sarawak for the upcoming state elections?
My first comment is that people should not get too excited over the announcement. This is very much a public relations exercise to show that the Pakatan Harapan component parties in Sarawak are united. The reality is that by the time the nomination date comes around, the seats that were announced 2 days ago will be completely changed. The reasons I say that is very simple. This is very much an opening gambit on the part of Pakatan Harapan Sarawak. They still have to negotiate with the other key opposition parties. So many of the seats that are currently allocated to DAP, PKR, Amanah, they will probably change on nomination day.
And James, I want to take a step back, right? Does this then mean that state elections that must be held by mid-2021 will definitely go ahead? And this is despite the fact that COVID-19 cases are rising in Malaysia?
Well, of course, COVID-19 is a key factor. But given the fact that Malaysia will probably have the vaccine program in the first quarter of this year, I suspect that there'll be enough controls in place so that Sarawak can hold the elections. The key debate in Sarawak now is not really whether elections will take place, it's whether Mujahidin at the federal level will also call for early general elections. So the big argument in Sarawak now is whether they want a concurrent elections like all the other states in Malaysia, where you have the federal and state elections to be held at the same time, or Sarawak will go in alone. So that is the current debate. I expect the elections will go ahead regardless of what's happening with the COVID crisis, unless we get a new strain where everything goes belly up again. If there's going to be a new strain that will hit Malaysia, I suspect it will hit the whole region as well. So it will not be isolated to Sarawak. It will be something that will affect the entire region and Malaysia as well.
So then could there be the possibility that a state of emergency will be declared to delay the state elections, like what we saw for the constituencies like Gerik, Bugaya and even Batu Sapi?
Yes, like I said, that is always a possibility. But again, I think if you speak to the medical experts, most will tell you that, at least if you can get the vaccination thing off the ground, at least the most vulnerable segment of the community will be protected. Once the most vulnerable segment of the community is protected, then probably the infection rate will go down, which means that you can hold a state election without much problems.
Now, there's also an expectation on Sarawak Pakatan Harapan to propose a Dayak chief ministerial candidate for the state elections. Now, who would be this candidate and how likely will it happen?
Well, there's been a lot of discussion. If you look at the social media charter, most people will say that the candidate the opposition is talking about most probably will be Barubian. But if you really speak to the key players, he doesn't have full support. There's also other players who wants to put their hands in. For example, Joseph Antelou is also seen as somebody who can get enough support from that community to be the chief minister as well. But I think it's too early to talk about this because they have to get the seat distribution right first. Because obviously, the seat distribution is the thing that will make or break the opposition ranks. If they can't get the seat distribution correct among themselves, then they really do not stand any real chance of toppling the GPS government.
And staying on this topic of seat allocations, right, what's the relationship like between the Pakatan Harapan parties? Can they work together? And, you know, what we saw in 2016 where they squabbled over six key seats, do you think that's going to repeat itself?
I don't think they're going to have an open disputes among the opposition parties. But in terms of the leadership, my understanding is that there's a very low level of trust. You have to remember the current PKR leader in Sarawak is a guy called Larry Sing. He used to be an assistant minister under Barisan Nasional, and he was seen as a protege of Taib Mahmud, the former chief minister and current governor. Although he's announced that he wants to step down, it's quite interesting that the Sarawak PKR leadership has asked him to stay on as chairman, although he did announce that he's not going to stand as a candidate this time around. The other key place, of course, is Chong, the Sarawak Pakatan Harapan chairman, longtime leader of the Sarawak DAP, and also Wong Soon Ko, the former Sarawak minister who's now leading PSB and other key opposition parties. So you have an interesting cast of characters. Chong has always been in the opposition. Larry and Soon Ko were in the Barisan National Government. So you can imagine these so-called new opposition newcomers. They will have a very low level of trust between them and, say, some of the older opposition parties, especially people who has been in the opposition for a very long time in DAP and PKR. And, of course, what is not reported in the media is that suddenly there's an emergence of people like Dominic Ng, who's come back to start Sarawak PKR again. So, again, my take is that there's actually a very low level of trust among the key opposition leaders, but it doesn't mean they can't negotiate. It just simply means that it'll be much harder to negotiate. But I'm sure they'll come to some sort of a deal, at least in terms of announcing it to the public, because I think they do realize it and they do want to present a united front against GPS. Whether that sort of agreement will hold among their supporters, it remains to be seen.
And staying on the topic of GPS, which you just brought up, you know, how important is this state elections for them? Because I read a recent article you wrote saying that this election is actually key.
Yes, it is in some ways a crucial election for GPS, simply because this is the first election for Abanjo. As many of your listeners know, he became chief minister not through election, but through the death of the incumbent, Adnan Satem, he took over. And secondly, this is the first time that GPS is standing in the statewide elections. As you know, GPS actually got into power the last time around under Sarawak Barisan Nasional. So they rebranded themselves more than 2 years ago after the collapse of the federal Barisan Nasional. So they had to test this whole idea of Sarawak first political philosophy, and they have to see that whether the name GPS works. If you go to the rural areas in Sarawak, what is interesting is that many people can't tell the difference between GPS and Sarawak Barisan Nasional. And in fact, in the rural areas, some of them were actually told that GPS is actually Barisan Nasional. So they're having problems with branding of GPS, especially rural areas. So it'll be interesting to see how well they'll do.
And what do you think the issues will be for this state election? So what are the things that both sides of the political divide would like to bring up?
Well, of course, the big thing in Sarawak now is the status of the MA63. I think this will be one of the key election issues. But of course, the other issues such as local development, who's going to be the direct chief minister, oil gas rights, Abanjo's performance as chief minister for the last 2 years, all these will be issues, but in the rural areas, it's always been driven by personalities. While some of the bigger issues like MS63 is sort of the big issues around talk about, but at the end of the day, it's really driven by personalities more than anything else.
And James, one final question related to GE15. You did say there's a possibility of both the Sarawak state elections and GE15 being held at the same time. But what's your guess in terms of when GE15 will be held? Will it be this year?
It's very, very difficult to predict because everything will be dependent on how Mujahideen will handle the rift with UMNO. We know that UMNO is really unhappy with its current status in government. So the number one item that UMNO is currently pushing is to replace the four senior ministers with a single deputy prime minister coming from UMNO. So UMNO is pushing very hard for that. So that's the reason why if you look at the media reports every day. Every day, there's some UMNO person complaining about the status of UMNO in government, or they're complaining that UMNO is being sidelined. So it's all about a game they're playing. They're putting a lot of pressure on Muhyiddin, because I think at the end of the day, UMNO is very worried that Bersatu has the possibility of killing off UMNO. So UMNO is doing all it can to make a big comeback. Because if you look at the history of UMNO, UMNO has always worked on this core strategy of not allowing another Malay party to be the mainstream Malay party. So that's the reason why, if you look at UMNO, say from the late 70s during the Mahathir period, throughout the Mahathir period, their number one enemy was PAS, because PAS was trying to become a mainstream Malay party. But now Bersatu is the main enemy, because Bersatu is trying to capture the ground that UMNO is standing on. So I don't doubt the conflict between UMNO and Bersatu is real. And the only way that can be resolved is what sort of deal they can cut with Muhyiddin.
And just give us a name very quickly, James. Who would be the DPM if it came from UMNO?
Ah, that's a very good question. There's about four people running. I can tell you that it will not be Zahid.
All right, that's James Chin, Professor James Chin of the University of Tasmania, giving us his views on the Sarawak state elections. But up next, we'll be speaking to Yong Liang Po, who is the consultant at the Institute for Energy, Economics and Financial Analysis, about the outlook for oil in 2021. That's happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.